During my second year of seminary, I spent a month studying at the Episcopal Church's seminary in the Dominican Republic. The seminary is in one of the roughest neighborhoods of Santo Domingo. It's next door to a sketchy bar and across the street from the Communist Party headquarters. It was a sketchy neighborhood. Now, by chance, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church was scheduled to visit the seminary while I was there. This ranks just below having the Queen of England and Jesus himself come to visit. So for a whole week leading up to the visit, all the seminarians were scurrying about, cleaning, organizing, throwing away, tidying up, a flurry of activity, even a fresh new coat of paint over the entire seminary campus. The big day came. The presiding bishop arrived for the long anticipated visit. I'll never shake this image from my mind. It was bizarre and surreal. All these seminarians from the Dominican Republic, Haiti, El Salvador, the United States, standing there in the seminary's driveway, shaking hands with the big boss. This huge mural of Che Guevara is looking over us from the Communist Party headquarters. You can hear the partying at the bar next door, and all you can smell is that fresh new coat of paint. We thought that we were pulling a fast one on the bishop by making her think the place was always that clean. We failed miserably. We walked into the seminary dining hall, and instead of the savory aroma of rice and yuca, all you could smell was paint. The chapel? Paint. The courtyard? Paint. We had done everything we could do to get ready, and it was obviously noticeable. You know what I'm talking about. Like when your family is coming over for Christmas, so you clean the house, you scrub the floors, you even dust the top of the refrigerator, you clean the bathrooms, but all they can smell is bleach. But my question this morning, if our life was required of us today, and were we to meet our Maker, would the Lord notice our preparations? Would God smell that fresh coat of prayer? Would God see that the corners of our souls had been dusted out and that the spiritual garbage had been taken to the curb? We had advance notice of the presiding bishop's arrival, but our own time may not come with such preparation. That's how the Gospel of Mark begins. There's a sense of suddenness we heard this morning. The beginning is unexpected. Unlike the other three Gospels, in Mark there are no shepherds, no angels, no wise men, no Mary and Joseph, no manger. There's none of that. Mark begins like an unexpected visit from your in-laws. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. He just appeared. It didn't matter if the people were ready. It didn't matter if they had prepared. John the Baptizer just showed up, and the ministry of Jesus began without any warning, without preparation, without prior notice. Are you ready? Are you ready? There will come a time for us to meet our Lord. It's going to happen. We all have advance notice. We know that we are going to die. Are we prepared? I mean, think of all that we've said about Houston and Harris County and the Army Corps of Engineers and Congress and the state legislature and all the developers about our drainage issue. We've collectively pointed the finger. They weren't ready. They knew a storm like this was coming, but they couldn't get their act together to actually do anything about the reservoirs and the bayous and the developments. They weren't ready for what was bound to happen. So let's take a dose of our own medicine and start preparing our own souls for what we know is bound to happen. And it's far better to start preparing to meet Jesus now than it is to try and catch up later. One of my favorite authors, Jeremy Taylor, says that actually you aren't alive until you're ready to die. It's only when you've made the spiritual preparations to meet Jesus in death that you can be fully alive today. And I know, it's unsettling. And let's face it, we live in a society that denies death. We deny aging. We spend hundreds of billions of dollars each year trying to look younger, trying to smooth out our wrinkles, trying to grow our hair back. But death is coming. Whether it comes today or tomorrow or decades from now, it's where we're headed. All the Rogaine in the world, all the Botox you inject, it won't stop it. Instead of living in denial of what is bound to happen, live in a way that recognizes just how short your time is. And that is truly life. Everything else is just a charade. And first of all, that means saying your prayers day by day and going to church week by week. It might seem like a lot of time, like a burden in the middle of a busy day, like a huge time out of the weekend, but you never know if that day will be your last. Like the sudden beginning of Mark's gospel, your end might come unexpectedly. Will you be ready? And I'm serious about this. Figure out what you're going to do with your money. You know, there's actually a rule in our Book of Common Prayer that says, from time to time, I am supposed to instruct you all that your money is well spent and that you have written your last wills. I know you don't like it when I meddle with your personal lives, but I'm just following the rules. It is our Christian duty, our obligation to make sure that we have arranged for our money when we die. It is my duty to instruct you to make sure that your will is written and to make sure that what money you do have is left behind for your family, for your church, and for charity, and do not put it off. If you fail to plan, then you can plan to fail. See, preparing for death is an act of stewardship, of being good stewards of our two most important possessions, time and money. And you know what? The time that you have in this life, it does not belong to you anyway. It belongs to God. And the money you have in this life, you can't take it with you. This is how to truly live a life with Jesus, to be ready. The suddenness, the unexpected nature of Jesus' arrival, Advent is a wake-up call so that we're ready for death. Then we can fully enjoy our lives. Then we will have a real life. And I know in the midst of everyday life, preparing for death seems absurd because the real temptation to stop following Jesus typically does not come from an evil prowling presence. No, the real temptation to stop following Jesus, to stop praying, to stop caring, comes from the grind of everyday life. When you're rushing to get the kids to school, to get to work for the day, to finish the laundry, to do the dishes, that's when Jesus gets pushed to the margins. I know, because I live it too. Advent is the wake-up call to clean out your hearts, to vacuum the recesses of your mind, to give your soul a fresh coat of paint today. Because no other day is promised to you. Now, eventually, the presiding bishop left the seminary in the Dominican Republic. She had to go somewhere else to visit. And all we were left with was the smell of paint in a clean seminary. And you know what? It was actually really nice to have fresh, clean walls. We enjoyed the place better, that the floors had been scrubbed. It was nice that everything was finally organized and cleaned out. We could get on with our life, and we were happier for it. The prophet Isaiah shouts out, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The good news of Jesus Christ is that God loves us even if we aren't ready, even if our paths are crooked, even if we don't know what it means to be loved. The whole point of preparing is not to get Jesus to love us. No, Jesus already loves us. The whole point of preparing is so that we fully understand what it means to be loved and so that we can live to the fullest potential of our lives. So that we can love God and our neighbor in return. So that we enjoy our lives with a fresh coat of paint and that clean soul. I see some of you. Don't take this sermon as a downer. I pray that we all have long, happy lives. But our lives will be more fruitful and our time will be richer when we have tended to our spiritual lives day by day, week by week. And then death will not come like an unexpected visit from your in-laws. No. Death will come as an old friend, because you will be ready. Amen.